Good evening and welcome to this week's edition of The Public Eye right here on 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye. So nice to have you with us this evening. As many of you know that many of the shows that we do here on The Public Eye each and every week covers a host of topic areas, especially history, biographies, U.S. history in particular, and biographies, certainly current events. And every now and then we delve into the world of fiction. Some people say, well, why do you do that, Al? It's somebody's mindset. Somebody had something in mind and they put it between the pages of a book or a story. And I say to myself, yes, that's indeed true, but there's a motivation there, there's reasoning there, the creativity that goes into all of that. And inevitably, there's always a great story in all of that. And that holds true for this evening's show, where my guest is author Davis Enloe. His new book is Into the Night Woods. And we'll be talking with Davis about his new book. But I first of all want to just paint a little picture here that what I took from this book is first and foremost survival, personal growth, courage, persistence. And this is all dealing with a very young 12-year-old boy, growing up in the South, who's had to face a host of obstacles along with a best friend. And I know it brought me back to my boyhood and, my childhood, and perhaps it'll do the same for you. So sit tight and listen to a great show this evening as we speak with Davis. Davis, nice to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much. It's truly an honor to be on the show and talking about my debut novel.
Well, that's the first thing. Many people have a creative side to them. I really believe that most people, have that gene in them. Of course, I'm still looking for mine, but that's beside the point. But the fact of the matter is that you reached that pinnacle. You finally got a book published, one that you're very proud of, and a lot of creativity going into all of this. But as I said at the outset, with fiction, people say, well, gee, it's not based on historical facts. It wasn't something that actually happened. We all know that it doesn't necessarily have to be that way in order to be an interesting story. And this certainly is. For me, as I said, I could relate to my boyhood and feeling frustrations as a young boy, getting into mischief and finding out that, adults were not as accommodating as I thought they would be. But let me ask you right up front, Into the Night Woods, what was the motivation for writing it?
Well, I think my primary motivation was I wanted it to be reflective of boyhood. And I wanted it to be something that captured two very close friends that had a great fondness, probably love for each other, although they would have never called it that at that age. And I wanted it to capture what it's like to be a boy, to be thrown into an adult world, but not possess the skills and experiences to navigate that world very well. So that was my inspiration on the surface. And I think more emotionally, it was about tapping into what I call abiding images of my childhood, and those can be like memories. It can be a picture, or it can be an experience. But those things that had great impact and import to me as a young boy, I think wanted to work their way into a story. I think that's all that rolled up together was what inspired me to write the story, about the characters that are in it and about the setting that runs throughout the novel.
Now, in college, you earned a master's in fine arts in creative writing, so the desire and the passion for writing was always there. But you also worked with numerous authors, and I guess the main question here would be, how much of an impact, how much of an influence did working around noted authors, people already published, how important was that to motivate you first and foremost, and secondly, to get you over the finish line, as they say?
Well, it was of tremendous importance. I did go back when I retired from the National Guard, went back and got an MFA, and I met Rod Smith, who was the editor of Shenandoah Literary Magazine. He was teaching at the MFA program at Converse College, and I actually got an MFA in poetry. And Rod was both a poet and a short story writer. So after I finished the degree there, I worked with him for several years, writing poetry and then eventually into short stories, but also worked with a couple other people. One, Stuart Onan, who was from and has recently moved back to Boston, who's also written 20 novels, incredibly intelligent person who's remembered everything he's ever learned about craft, and worked with him a great deal. And he had a tremendous positive effect on the writing of this novel. But there's a third person, one of America's premier short story writers, Lee K. Abbott, who I worked with individually, who I met when I went to a workshop in Kenyon College, who has a very strong summer workshop program. And Lee was the one that convinced me that I needed to quit worrying about publishing, and I just needed to work on craft. And that's what I did. In fact, I just made a commitment to myself that I wasn't going to worry about any more publishing until people like Rod and people like Lee said, okay, this is worth getting published now. So I focused on that for several years, and it was turned out to be not as easy as I thought to make things simple and compelling. But eventually I felt like I got there and got some short stories published and then moved on to a novel.
Yeah, and then here we are into the night woods, finally published. But something you said was very interesting, because I've heard this from other authors or would-be authors, is that, you know, it's too easy to wake up on a Monday and say, you know, this is just overwhelming. I'm not gonna find a publisher who's willing, because I'm unknown. I may have to throw some dollars behind this, and then will they work with me to promote this book? Will it get off the ground? In other words, Davis, many reasons to just turn and say enough is enough. I'd like to write this book, I'd like to complete this book, but I'm not going to. But it was great that you had the drive to complete it, and also the motivating factors, those people who stood beside you and said, you know, this is worthy of being published. And I think that means everything to an author. Like I said, it's so easy to just, you know, start the project and then never complete it. And I know for somebody like yourself, especially with the, you know, creative aspect to it, it can be very demoralizing. You want to complete this. You want to go the full 100 yards, as they say. But, it's also very easy to throw someone off track, and you stayed with that. With that said, Into the Night Woods. This starts off in North Carolina, the Appalachians, summertime, and a young 12-year-old gets into a scrape with another student in a schoolyard, this young boy by the name of Boyd. And then he's sent to his grandfather's farm, where he's expected to spend the summer working the land and tending to livestock and chickens. Not so sure that Boyd was very excited about all of that. In fact, you talk about it in the book that he had other plans, and he embarks on a journey with his best friend, his close friend, you know, Roger. And that's where all the challenges come about. So let me ask you, is Boyd or even Roger, are those two, fictional figures part of something in your past?
Well, I think they are, because I remember my father was in the Navy. And so we moved a fair amount. I remember my earliest memory was being from he was stationed at the Naval Station in Charleston, South Carolina. I ended up going to the first grade in actually Sutter Elementary in Long Beach, California. And so back and forth. So it was hard, I think, to build a friendship. But I remember having a really close friend named, first name is Philip. And I remember when we moved left the Gilkey area when I was in the middle of the fifth grade. And And so that relationship with Philip was broken off, and I never saw Philip again. And so there is a sense of wanting to have, out of my childhood, having a long, lifelong friendship with someone. And so that was what I would call an abiding image or feeling that I think weaves itself strongly through the story.
Yeah, and that certainly comes through, you know, for me anyway, in reading it. In fact, I too could relate to my childhood being somewhat mischievous, as many children are early in life. Summer, I got not to worry about school. I can do what I want. Maybe you got into a little trouble with the bike, maybe playing sports, whatever it may be. You know, children can be mischievous. And in this case, you know, Boyd was, you know, picked right from where he wanted to be into a whole different environment. Before we continue, I just want to take a quick pause to remind our listeners, you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye. My guest this week is author Davis Enlow. His new book is Into the Night Woods, and a book that for me personally came, certainly brought to light boyhood or youth, if you will, survival, personal growth, courage, persistence, many of the things that children go through at different phases of their life, but even into their adult life. But going back into the story, Davis, you know, so there, for you personally, while writing it, you at the same time, it sounds like simultaneously, you could relate back to being very young, having a relationship with a close friend, as with many of us, time becomes the gap. We move on to different things in our life, different people enter our lives and whatnot. But again, why this particular path? Why pick a topic where a young boy, just being a young boy, summertime, got, out of school, gets into a little mischief, and before you know it, his whole world is turned upside down. Was that something that you consciously wanted to put forth in the pages of the book?
I don't think I was conscious of it initially. I think as I wrote into the story and the story began to unfold, and I became kind of aware of these, I guess you'd say, that the emotional, the psychological parallels that went on there. So it became more important the more I wrote, I guess I would explain it that way.
Yeah, because I've heard authors say, even those, who write, nonfiction, that as I was writing the story, as the story was progressing, I found that I could see myself in that position, or I went through a similar circumstance. So that's why I asked that. So there was, there's some relationship, if you will, between the story, sometimes the characters, and something that had been going through your mind. But here we are. The book is published. It's between the pages of now on bookshelves. But you had mentioned before the broadcast, and I think it's also very, very important to mention, I don't think people realize this is a labor of love initially. There's no guarantee. Publishers are not necessarily knocking on your door, offering you, a big paycheck. You're doing this out of love for the craft, the art of writing. And you had talked about some of the doubts, some of the challenges that, even if I did put a story together, would it be worthy of a publisher? Who would pick it up? How would it be distributed? Did that in any way slow you down in your desire to complete the book?
I don't think so, even though I was aware of those challenges. I remember reading years ago an essay called Writing in the Cold, I believe it was. And the whole thing about the essay is that when you go back to school, you get an MFA, you get a lot of attention, a lot of support, a lot of affirmation. And then once you leave that protective environment, we'll say, a lot of that stuff falls away, and you start being on your own, and you do write in the cold. And the whole focus of that essay was you have to persevere, and that those people who don't have success very often are those who simply don't persevere. Even writers that are maybe more talented in early in their career will get despondent or disappointed and not persevere, so they don't get published. So I think first and foremost, you have to persevere, and you have to make a long-term commitment, and you have to be willing to accept that there's going to be a lot of disappointments along the way, but that if you persevere, you'll eventually get what you want published. So.
And I assume that the mentors, the people that you had worked, while you were earning the MFA and while you were in school, and even, shortly thereafter, the people you mentioned, Stuart Nann and, Lee Abbott, that those people offered encouragement, and that had to really help in terms of motivation and thinking, well, geez, these are solid writers. These are people who have become accomplished in their craft. So they obviously see some talent there. They see that I've got something that's worthwhile. But I also believe that there are many who don't have that. And as you said, very difficult sometimes to wake up on a Monday and say, God, what am I doing here? I mean, I love this story. I think it's worth publishing, but I may never get this off the ground. So, I think it's a challenge. It's quite a big challenge as well, especially, and I want to get your sense on this, in a world where today, everything, I mean, we're being bombarded 24/7. If it's not on our computers, it's on our cell phones, it's in TV, radio, you name it. The amount of information that's thrown at anybody at any given time or day, and yes, you have the option to turn it down, but I think most people almost become addicted to it. That, I what's that story all about? Does that make it harder for a new author, especially, as I said, when there's so much going on around us in the world, things that 50 years ago we might have heard a glimpse of, but it was never, front page news, so to speak. Does that interfere with, one, getting published, and secondly, motivating you that you're going up against challenges that were not in place 50 years ago?
I think it does. And I think you just have to remain committed. I've always been kind of driven and hard-headed and stubborn. And my position was that I was going to write this and I was going to get it published. And if it's not a level playing field out there, then that just makes it more of a challenge to accomplish what I want to accomplish. So, yes, there are many challenges out there and many excuses to quit. But if you love writing, and I think that has to be your first gate you have to go through is your love to write, and that has to be more important than getting published. Because if your primary focus is just to get published, then you can do that. But if you don't get published, what does it do to your self-esteem? If your whole life is built around, I have to get published. And I just think that you set yourself up for failure, because many people won't, and you're far more likely to be happy if you just focus on your love of writing and love of craft and just let it go wherever it leads you. But just persevere, work on craft, and remain positive. Those things we as writers can all control.
That's interesting, because many years ago we had the acclaimed and world-renowned writer David McCullough, who's now passed, on. And he's been known for his excellence in historical writing. But he even said the same thing. He said, not every book was going to be a guarantee. Not every book, stood the test of time. But that wasn't the motivating factor. The factor was that I just loved dissecting a story, finding something that wasn't, you know, on the surface, and extrapolating that from the story and putting that between the pages of the book. So as you said, you know, the passion, the love that, you know, writers have has to be there first and foremost. That's the most important thing. But going back to the story, what the other thing that I think is important, and again, I want to get your sense on this, is as the book winds through, what comes to light is the fact that this young man, Boyd, is pushed to the point where he has to do things that weren't necessarily part of his character, you know, lying, stealing, taking risks, all the things that we're all guilty of, but sometimes just for self-survival and being able to flourish and move on to the next. But at the end, it really comes down to the story of, you know, young people, two boys, who finally escape, you know, what was, you know, that difficulty in life, you know, people pointing out their faults and everything else. And for me personally, it really came to light that this was a story of, as I said, survival, courage. But more importantly, most importantly, again, and I want to hear this from you, personal growth. Personal growth, you know, am I wrong in saying that, you know, at the end of this book, that certainly is one of the characteristics that comes to the forefront?
Oh, you're absolutely right. That both these boys go through, I guess, a test of fire, and we know that, our sense as we've read the story, that they're going to be shaped by this, and it's, who knows how they're going to be as adults, but we know that these experiences are definitely causing them to grow in some positive ways, and perhaps in some ways negative, or they certainly have to work through the negatives. And so it's very much coming of age in many ways, but as a work of literary fiction, of course, it has other elements of suspense and those kind of things. But yes, growth and change and developing into having these childhood experiences are going to have to develop into an adult. Very strong, powerful elements in the story.
And as you said, coming, you know, with a price, you know, it wasn't, they just weren't, you know, oh, okay, we're going to pull you out of your normal environment. Oh yeah, no problem. This is wonderful. You know, I can accept anything. No, there were challenges. They were very young. They're very impressionable at that time. Let me ask you, as we start to wind down, Davis, this was a work of fiction, which, you know, by all means, I think, this offers an author, a writer, more latitude. When you write something of nonfiction, you kind of got to stick to the game plan. I mean, you can't say that World War II started in 1962 because it didn't. You can't say that, you know, Eisenhower was not, you know, who he was. In other words, you can't stretch things. You have to stick to facts, and that's fine. As I said, I love nonfiction. I love finding out, you know, different things about people and periods in history. But I'm thinking, and I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. If I was Davis, and as I said, we only got a few moments, but this particular book of fiction must have also felt comfortable for you as a writer because you weren't limited to hard facts. You could go in any direction. Is that summing it up?
Yeah, I think so. And as you were talking, I was thinking about the setting of it, where it was very important to me that I create an authentic setting. So I wanted to go back to a setting that I grew up in, where the cousins and uncles and church and school and my grandfather's house and the lumber yard and just race as I experienced it growing up, and a garden, chores, all those things were very much accessible to me, and got, they were all they all got woven into the story.
Yeah, I love that. That's great, great word. Great way of rounding the whole thing out this evening is the fact that woven into the story, things you experienced, things going through your mind, but there were no limitations. There wasn't a specific date. It wasn't a historical event that's in the annals of history. And I think that gives an author like yourself a lot of latitude. And that for me, or anybody in the creative endeavor, they don't want to feel that they've been, put in a box and given just certain parameters. You want that freedom because that's at the end of the day, that's where the story goes. That's where where you end up. It was because of that ability to be as creative as possible. Into the Night Woods, Davis N. Lowe's new book is really fascinating. Brings in, as I said numerous times, survival, personal growth, sacrifice, courage, persistence, all the things that sometimes we think doesn't exist anymore in this world. This book will certainly bring back those things to you. Davis, before we close out, let me quickly ask you, if people want to reach out to you directly, is there a website? Is there a way of reaching out to you directly?
Yes, they can reach me through my website, davisnlowe.com.
And that would be E-N-L-O-E, right?
Correct.
Okay. And the book is Into the Night Woods. And my guest has been Davis N. Lowe. As I said, a great read. I think you can probably, as you get through the book, as I did, find a little bit of yourself in many of the characters and many of the settings. And I always find that most fascinating when reading a book, even looking at art. It's just, if you can find some part of your life that connects with that, I think it makes it all that more interesting. If you have any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. Certainly welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A at WICN.org. For the Public Eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in.